Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hunt, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following: Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and, seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized.
Here again, we read from the words of Abraham Lincoln. Those antisocial laws today are written on her banners with blood of 10 million some martyrs. It is under those bloody banners that 6,000 Roman Catholic priests, Jesuits, and bishops in the United States are marching to the conquest of this republic, backed by their 7 millions of blind and obedient slaves. Those laws, which are still the ruling laws of Rome, were the main cause of the last rebellion of the southern states. Yes, without Romanism, the last awful civil war would have been impossible. Jeff Davis would never have dared to attack the North had he not had assurance from the Pope that the Jesuits, the bishops, the priests, and the whole people of the Church of Rome, under the name mask of democracy, would help him. These diabolical anti-social laws of Rome caused the Roman Catholic Beer Guard to be the man chosen to fire the first gun at Fort Sumter. Is it not an absolute absurdity, says Lincoln, to give to a man a thing which he has sworn to hate, curse, and destroy? And does not the Church of Rome hate, curse, and destroy liberty of conscience when she can do it safely? I am for liberty of conscience in the noblest, broadest, highest sense, but I cannot give liberty of conscience to the Pope and to his followers, the papists, so long as they tell me through their councils, theologians, and canon laws that their conscience orders them to burn my wife, strangle my children, and cut my throat when they find their opportunity. This does not seem to be understood by the people today. But sooner or later, the light of common sense will make it clear to everyone that no liberty of conscience can be granted to men who are sworn to obey the Pope, who pretends to have the right to put to death those who differ from him in religion. He says the common people see and hear the big noisy wheels of the Southern Confederacy cars. They call them Jeff Davis, Lee, Toombs, Beauregard, Simmons. And they honestly think that they are the motive power, the first cause of our troubles. But this is a mistake, says Lincoln. The true motive power is secreted behind the thick walls of the Vatican, the colleges, schools of the Jesuits, the convents, nuns, and the confessional boxes of Rome. There is a fact which is too much ignored by the American people, and with which I am acquainted only since I became a president. It is that the leading families of the South have received their educated in great part, if not in whole, from the Jesuits and the nuns. Now, after the assassination of Lincoln, this brother Chiniquy is talking in the book. After I mixed my tears with those of the grand country of my adoption, I fell on my knees and asked my God to grant me to show to the world what I knew to be the truth, that horrible crime was the work of popery. And after 20 years of constant and most difficult researches, I came fearlessly today before the American people to say and prove that the President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by the priests and Jesuits of Rome. In the book of the testimonies given in the prosecution of the assassin of Lincoln published by Ben Pittman, and in the two volumes of the trial of John Surratt in 1867, we have the legal and irrefutable proof that the plot of the assassins of Lincoln was matured, if not started, in the house of Mary Surratt. But who were living in the house at that time? The legal answer is the most devout Catholics in the city. The sworn testimonies show more than that. They show that it was the common rendezvous of the priests of Washington. These people were Roman Catholics. It was a Jesuit conspiracy that destroyed Abraham Lincoln. The church planned the destruction of the world and the regaining of its power through world wars. And this is brought out in this book, The Secret History of the Jesuits. She tried with Bismarck to get him to fight for her, to Kaiser Wilhelm to get him to fight for her. And in time, she brought about the reaction of the Serbians against her effort to force them to Catholicism, an assassination attempt on one behind the Catholic plot. And that led to the first great war, the First World War. In time, this man, Pius XI, brought to power Mussolini in a desire to regain some political power. In time, in 1929, the Lateran Treaty was signed, and the church was given money and some land. But more than that, prestige again among the nations, and Mussolini was raised to power in Italy. In this book, The Destruction of Freemasonry Through a Revelation of Her Secrets, by General Eric Ludendorff, he brings irrefutable evidence, the evidence of court records before us in that book, that in Germany, In the secret societies, the Andrean Mason lodges there, they were planning on using the German people as a takeoff point for a war. What was the purpose behind that war? We discover it clearly. This is the Nuncio Pacelli from the Vatican to Bavaria. there in Bavaria. He worked secretly with von Papen, and in time they signed a concordat between Hitler and the Vatican. Hitler was raised to power by the Roman Church. It was his relationship with them that made him the man. Speeches, his Mein Kampf, were written by Jesuits, and he became a god in that age. And also, as the secret mechanisms of Roman Catholic subversion were taking place in the international world, we find that the IG Farben drug complex and the Rockefeller dynasty merged and formed the wealthiest and most powerful cartel in the world, and it was through them that Hitler was financed and brought to power. Hitler's rise to power would have been impossible without the secret financial support of IG Farben. The Nazi state became the means by which the cartel agreements were enforced. This is from the book World Without Cancer, page 286 and 287. Hitler himself stated, "I learned much from the Order of the Jesuits. Until now, there has never been anything more grandiose on the earth than the hierarchical organization of the Catholic Church. I transferred much of this organization into my own party." Isn't that an amazing thing to say? This man, Himmler, was the head of the SS. But friends, his uncle, Himmler, was a Jesuit from Oath and Induction from the Bavaria of University from the Bavarian court. The SS troops were a Jesuit-controlled society, and they became the police of the Nazi state. This book, Smokescreens, reveals a tremendous involvement of the Roman Catholic Church in the slaughter of millions of people. Here it quotes Hitler is saying, "As for the Jews, I am just carrying on with the same policy which the Catholic Church has adopted for 1,500 years. Franz von Papen is quoted as saying again in that book, Smokescreens, page 20, by Jack Chick, "The Third Reich is the first world power which not only acknowledges but also puts into practice the high principles of the papacy." What are the high principles of the papacy? What is the plan that the Jewish church has for its enemies? You can see it in the faces of the people in the concentration camps. That nuncio that worked secretly with von Papen became the Pope after Pius XI. Now Pope Pius XII, supporting Hitler, but in time he saw Hitler's power waning. He was just using Hitler, and in time he turned his attention to the Western world. But what was happening in another country in Europe? Ante Pavelec, the head of the Ustaše state of Croatia, surrounded with Croatian Catholic clergy in April 1942, he was to Yugoslavia what Hitler was to Germany. There in that state, priests became soldiers, and they worked at the most horrible suffering and slaughter and persecution that the world has ever seen from the time of the Dark Ages. People were tortured to death with spoons and knives and forks, forced to eat their relatives. Eyes were torn out of the sockets and wreathed and handed out among the priests. This is 1942, folks. It shows that if she gains power, she will return to the apostasies of the ancient time. This man was responsible for opening up trade with Russia and recognizing a political connection with Rome. He also placed this Masonic symbol on our dollar. Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new world order. The reverse of the seal of the United States of America, according to Manly P. Hall, an expert on Masonic lore, not only were many of the founders of the U.S. government Masons, but they received aid from a secret and august body existing in Europe which helped them to establish the United States for a peculiar and particular purpose known only to the initiated few. The Great Seal, says Hall, was a signature of this exalted body, and the unfinished pyramid on its reverse side is a trestle board setting forth symbolically the task through the accomplishment of which the U.S. government was dedicated from the day of its inception. Who dedicated this country? Many books have been published now that make it clear what took place during the years after the Second World War. First, the Church joined itself to the United States through Cardinal Spellman. Then Russia, realizing the responsibility that the Church had in the Russian Revolution, realized that the entire balance of world power could be swayed by being involved in Vatican politics. So a Catholic Pope, in 1958, comes to the throne in the Vatican. And what does he do? He establishes the Great Vatican Council for bringing the governments and the churches of the world into great communist society.